Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 111 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And unfortunately, Brian is not going to be here with us again today. He's not going to jump in like he did last week, but I did sit with him and record basically his voicemail, so we will play that later in the episode. But for that, let's continue on. So we're going to cover The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 12, called Walk With Us, written by, and if totally going to probably butcher this, Eli Jorne and
I would
Nicole,
say Eli Yorn.
Eli Yorn and Nicole Morante Matthews. This is directed by Greg Nicotero, and the description is Alpha and the Whispers attack Hilltop with Negan's help. Alrighty, well, let's go into our readings. Mark, what'd you rate this episode?
Well, I gave it 9.5 out of 10. We finally get Frowny McTwoknives out of Negan. Yay! This is so awesome.
I wanted to use that, but I saw you already took it, so I was like, I will just leave it. I think LT might have like put it in his comments too. So
probably.
Yeah, that was a great line. So, that's Negan. Well, I gave it a 9.5 sad stabbing Judas out of 10. And like I said before, like me and Brian went through basically all his comments, so we will get to him in our feedback. So let's go on to our listeners' ratings.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City gives it 9.5 out of 10. Half a face is all you need to recognize Beta. I guess, which is pretty funny because Brian goes into it later.
Yeah. Deanna from Detroit, she gives it a 9 out of 10. It's a conspiracy theory, Carol, and Negan's working together. What?
And Glynis from Toronto gives it 9 out of 10. Negan gets ahead.
That was funny. LT from NC's, he says he's gonna give this one a 9.9 out of 10. Hey, don't I know you? All right, that was all our listeners rating, so let's go on to Awesome Sauce. All right, our first listener's awesome sauce comes from Dieta from Detroit, and she says, watching Daryl swing his flail weapon, smashing Walker's head wide open. And that would be the Morning Star from the title, or the, you know, what the last episode was called, which I have to agree, I was going to use that one as one of my awesomes, because it's just fun seeing him use that weapon and just almost kind of like they were doing slow motion as it like would, you know, nail Walker's heads.
Yeah, I love that idea. Well, Steve from Oklahoma City gives it Judith fighting the Zeds with her sword.
Yep. Glenda from Toronto, she's got two. It's Negan switcheroo and ending Alpha. That was very unexpected. And Negan actually protecting Lydia from Alpha. Nicely done to make it look as if Negan and Alpha were heading towards the cabin where Lydia was tied up in.
Yeah.
And last, we had Todd from Ohio, and he called it a yes sauce, so I kind of hoping this was his awesome sauce, but it was like, Negan, rest in peace, Alpha, attaboy, Neeg.
I love that.
All right, that was it for our listeners' awesome sauce, so let's go on to yours.
Mine, I only put one because everybody has so much stuff, but the one penultimate thing I have to give you, everybody, listeners, the Negan and Alpha scene was amazing. I loved it. ding dong, the witch is dead. And just like the Mexican guy in Boondock Saints 2, ding dong, ding dong. So I love that. You know, if you guys didn't, you know, celebrate St. Patrick's Day, I always watch it. You know, I always watch the Boondock Saints. So, but to continue on, I would say the way they did it reminded me of the way when Rick stabbed Negan in the neck at the end of season 8. Negan did the same thing, but Rick at that time in season 8 let Negan live. In this case, there was no redemption for Alpha in, I guess, Negan's mind. There was no way for her to come back. And in this case, this was a way for Negan to come back. Plus, that scene at the end with Negan rolling the head to Alpha to Carol's feet, like a good dog. I like that. Like he did a good thing. Hey, yeah. Did I do a good thing?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome for sure. It was just cool how it, like I caught me off guard completely. Just like you saw the head roll, but not who it was rolling to.
Yeah, so. And I think all of us have kind of calculated the idea of what would happen. I think Brian and I thought between Daryl and Carol at certain points, and obviously it's Carol. So
yeah. All right. Well, my awesome sauce, because everybody did cover basically a lot of some of the same stuff that I was like, you know, loved at this episode. But I mean, I have to say the hilltop catapults. I mean, I love it's like that they have like more defenses than just, you know, doing the Roman shield like brigade or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just like, even like none of that's ever been, you know, I felt like it was like we never had any idea that they even had that kind of capability. And it was just fun to see, although I couldn't tell what was in them. I don't know if it was just like bunch of rocks or, you know, what it was, but it was just,
I think it was a gathering of like steel stuff that Earl had created that was stabby.
Yeah.
And I think they just catapulted that, and that was his way of giving to the cause. And yeah. Honestly, no spoilers. Well, without him now, it's like, what else do we have?
Yeah, but it was cool. I don't know. It's a fun little, it was cool.
Yeah.
And then the other part, though, I don't know. It's just like Judith just like growing up before our eyes. I mean, you know, it's just like all the emotion like she is going through, you know, with that, you know, when she stabbed that whisper, and it was just like the shock on her face when she realized that it was like, oh, it's not a walker, it's a actual person. And the person actually, for one, the whisperer actually like like kind of said out to her like, wait, sorry, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
And just seeing her the way she reacted to it, you know, it's just like just the completely different life experience that she is having compared to Carl. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's completely different, but it's just, you have to like kind of remember, like she's still a child, you know, and she wants to fight and like all this stuff. But like, I mean, what is she? Is she kind of the same age as Carl was?
She's about, I would say that Judith has to be about 11 or 12. At this point, I don't think she is Carl's age, because Carl's age in the very beginning of the show, I believe, is between 10 and 11.
Okay.
So she has to be about 11 or 12 at this point when we picked up from last year.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it is. And, you know, not to add a little fun thing, my niece, who is now she's 15. So she's a year older than Kelly Fleming. And Kelly Fleming is really between 13 and 14 at this point.
Yeah.
So, and she just kept looking at her at a con going, she's so small. Why is she so small? I'm like, there are small people. There are tall people. You're just tall, kiddo. And she goes, I know. I'm like, you could pass for like a 17-year-old. Now she's, you know, my niece has the acne and everything else, but the thing is that Kelly Fleming could pass it off as being younger.
Younger, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that works too. So, yeah, and she is a very diverse actress, and I think she's, you know, I think she's being treated well on the show, and she's doing well for herself. I really enjoy the character. I really enjoy the girl, because she came at me when I was at a Walker Stalker Con, and she had to go down, and she had to, like, fix her shoe or something. I'm like, where'd she go? Is she hiding? She goes, I'm not hiding. And she comes back up. She goes, hi. I'm like, okay, hi. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, she goes, I wasn't hiding. I was like, okay, okay, cool, kid.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. She definitely is, or at least how the show is put, you know, how they're dealing with her character, and just I'm loving it a lot, because, you know, we don't have Carl obviously, but we all had such an affinity for Carl because it's from the whole beginning. But then just seeing her basically experience all the cruelness and all the craziness of, like, this universe, and just, like, seeing her react, and it's like, you know what, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, like, she realized, she thought she was, like, you know, killing a walker, because that's what you do. But then realizing it, oh my gosh, no, it wasn't. It was an actual person. Right. And then having to do what she had to for Earl, which was she had to be, do something very not childlike that you would have to ever do. But then also it was kind of like as a way of, like, you know, helping and or mercy or knowing what he was going to basically be facing.
Yeah, these kids have to grow up really fast in this world.
Incredibly fast. And,
with World Beyond coming out, these kids have been sheltered, and from what I could see.
Yeah.
And I have a funny feeling with that show, they're going out there and they've been hidden and whatever, whereas Judith has been seeing certain things. She knows the difference between a walker and a person. She knows sort of the difference between a whisperer and a walker. But the thing is, within this episode, she stabbed somebody and realized she killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what hurt her in the end, where we saw her humanity going, but they were bad people. Whereas with Carl, when he shot that guy haphazardly, I forget which episode and which season. So, Brian, you could really hurt me later on with this because I didn't bring it up, but I should have done my research. But the thing is that, you know, Herschel saw, you know, Carl, and he just shoots somebody haphazardly. He was like, oh, he's bad. I'm going to shoot him. And that's when his downward spiral went, and he had to learn as he went. And at the very end, we got a Carl that actually, you know, looked out for everyone, was looking, even Negan too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he grew up really quick towards the end. But whereas with Judith, she's learning as she's going now. And I think between Rick and Michonne and Daryl and everybody that she's talking to, she's got a group or family that is working out with her to make it work. So,
yeah, it's been a
tough ride.
tough ride. But, like, it's one of my things that I do like seeing in the show. It's just, you know, children are definitely still a part of this world, and seeing them
definitely
react and do stuff. It's like it's. And she's a grime, so she.
Yeah.
We'll see how long it takes before she gets.
What was Shane's last name?
All right. Well, that was that. That's all I had. So let's go on to our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Mark, you want to start?
Sure. Steve from Oklahoma City says, Eugene running into a burning building, getting to the top floor, and retrieving parts of the radio. Yeah, I do agree. That was a little bit weak, but in the sense that was needed for continuity for the actual story, and it's typical Eugene. It's like, I gotta get the electronics.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I had actually kind of basically wrote the same thing in my notes as being weak, because it was just like, it just, it, you know, I guess obviously, yeah, that made sense because he's obviously the radio is kind of
his
little thing. And also he's got the little connection with Stephanie or whoever this, you know, new group or, you know, that thing going on. But it, at the moment though, it just seems so weird because it was like everything's burning around you. There's like the front line trying to hold back the walkers. And all of a sudden he looks up and he's just like, oh, I gotta go. And I don't know. For me, it came off a little bit disjointed because it was just like, there was so much else going on that then all of a sudden it just turned to him and he was just like, oh, I'm gone, you know, and it just,
he was Spider-Man. I have to go into the burning building. I got to get that stuff.
Yeah. So it just kind of came off wrong, but at least for me. Well, that was it for our listeners' week sauce. I will go into mine. Cause I mean, I guess some of this, maybe I was like nitpicking a little, but it was just like Carol with her bow and arrow and like when she's on the walls. Like, I was like, come on, girl. It's like, it's going to take much more than that to stop this herd. Like, she's like, she's up there just like,
yeah, I know,
taking one out at a time. But I'm like, really?
that was like a Game of Thrones throwback air. It's like, here, we got the arrow. I'm going to shoot from the top and it looks great. And
yeah.
You know. But honestly, it was Carol trying to do her part, I think. And I think that's what they were trying to go with. And the fact that she's not weak, but we see other things later on in the episode that shows, no, she's not weak.
Yeah,
she's the Carol that we knew, but I don't think it's completely the Carol that we knew.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then the other part I thought was weak was just Magna walking in with the herd. It's like, I don't know how you can say that she could have even done that without the walkers knowing she's a human. And then, so I just basically had that, like, it felt like the big old fear trope of like, wipe some walker blood on your face and you just disappear.
Exactly. Yeah. She took a role from Nick.
But I mean, it's like, and then it's like, yeah, I get her story about how it all had happened and how, like, she was saying that she lost Connie. And I get that whole story just of like how to like bring, you know, just what happened to her. Cause you know, we didn't see them for many episodes.
Oh yeah.
But I still don't get how like you could have walked all the way from the cave with the herd and there had to have been some other whisperers there, like all the way to Hilltop and like not, like, and then it wasn't till then that you could actually like get away. Like, that did not make sense to me at all. So I was just like, you have probably like, and then it's like, not get bit, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, but again, what is it with these walkers that you can just put on a mask? And then like Negan was kind of doing it too, where he would just like start slumping and kind of walking a little, but then the walker would kind of see him like, hey, what are you? But then all of a sudden, oh, I guess you're not, you know, something to eat, and then walk past him, you know, and it's like, and then he beats the thing in the head with Lucille, and then there's two walkers like not too far away walking towards him as like they obviously see him. So, you know, it just, I don't know, it's just,
it's one of those weird things, kind of like what I stated, what was it, last week or the week before, where Alpha was actually tapping and they didn't really see her. But she kept tapping and they were right there.
Yeah. And, but yet they, but yeah, it's like, but she's got the mask and smells like poop. And so that just makes her invisible.
And she must smell like poop too. So I don't know how Negan got busy with that. I guess people are like immune to smells at this point in the zombie apocalypse.
I mean, I guess you have to be. You're pretty much never taking a shower or a bath, and well, unless you live in Hillside or, you know, in the community. But
yeah, when Maggie comes back, eventually everybody's gonna be like, "You're clean. You smell nice."
She better bring some soap and some nice gifts from where she's been.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's all I had for my weak sauce. Do you have anything?
My weak sauce, that would be not seeing Connie. Yeah. I know she was filming the Eternals movie for Marvel at that time, but they could have at least given us a little something. It was very weak to me, but they could have done just a small little her fearing in the cave or out in the middle of nowhere that they could have just quickly shot.
Yeah, and they could have shot that when she was around.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like I have a funny feeling that Lauren Ridloff's not going to go away right away. If she does come back, maybe she's like walking around, you know?
Yeah.
But obviously, you know.
Yeah, there's no body. No, like, still means that there's.
Yeah, they can't pull a Heath on this one where it's like, oh, he's done. He's gone. Oh, it's like, really? We haven't seen Heath in, what,
I know.
Three seasons?
Yeah. But he's still out there.
He's still there. He's probably going to be showing up in a movie somewhere.
Yep. All right. Well, okay, so that was all we had for the weak sauce. So I guess let's go into what sauce.
What?
All right, our first listener's what sauce comes from Todd from Ohio, and he says, Jerry and his wife freaking out about the kids, them not knowing they're safe with the king. Yeah, I mean. And then I guess next we had Deanna from Detroit, and she has several, and she says, Carol and Negan working together. Didn't see that coming. I thought it was going to be Gabriel who did, even though... Or though he said he didn't like Negan, lies to Alpha about her daughter, then cuts her throat and takes her head back to Carol. I'm so loving this teaming up of Carol and Negan to put an end to Alpha.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that definitely added to something that was there because listeners, you know, obviously Carol in the comics had died like back in issue 30 or something.
Yeah.
She's been long gone. So this iteration of Carol is like, it's just another character within the show, but a character that we've grown to be fond of and love and respect. And they've changed her dynamic a lot. So you don't know where Carol is going at this point because she's been left, right. There's no middle ground. So yeah, I'm loving that idea.
Yeah, it's like I like the surprise because it was just like this whole time we've been just basically thinking like, what is Carol doing? You know, I mean, like, and who knows? Maybe we'll find out more about that. But it was nice to see that, like, oh, here's this twist. Like, oh yeah, Carol and Negan have basically been in cahoots this whole time. Mm-hmm. So what is the reason that she's like? Being so upset and making stupid decisions, this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, maybe she is kind of losing her touch, but then to see her basically say, yeah, like, what took you so long? That was like, that was like, there's the Carol that we all know and love. Like, there she is. She's not gone. She's just, you know, other stuff came up, but it was like, that whole scene was just awesome.
Which led to a lot of people going, hey, is this a ruse? Did she play the I'm really upset, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just doing this? Yeah. Or was it because of, you know, she sent Negan out on this mission to do this, saying, hey, if you want to redeem yourself with the communities, if you want to redeem yourself with me by killing my friend Glenn and Abraham, then you need to go out there and get in cahoots with, you know, Alpha and just take her out and bring me back her head.
Yeah.
And I think that plan kind of went south in her head because she let him out and there was so much time that she didn't see or hear from him that she went a little bit bonkers that she killed Negan. And then when she finally saw him, she goes, well, that took a while.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, just,
she was happy to see him, but plus, yeah, I got ahead in return. You did what I needed. Thank you. Here's a bone.
All right. Well, Deanna goes on. She says, Judith Grimes saving herself and the other kids from the turning Earl. Daryl finds her and comforts her after the kill out of necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good scene. And what was going on with Beta after Gamma ripped some of his mask off? The Whisperer said, "I recognize your voice." Then Beta shuts up us by slicing his neck. But why? Oh, good question. And I think we, you know, Glynis and some other people might have made comments about this. But basically, Dieta, like, we saw an Easter egg during Fear the Walking Dead last season, mm-hmm. and it was in season 5, episode 14, called Today and Tomorrow. And basically, Daniel and Grace were traveling together, and I think they had a truck or whatever, and it broke down. Mm-hmm. But Daniel had a bunch of vinyl records because, you know, he'd been playing, he has a record player, and he was like wanting more music.
Yeah, to show to Charlie. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then some walkers show up or whatever, and so Daniel and Grace have to like hightail it out of there. And during that time, like, you know, Daniel dropped the records. Mm-hmm. Well, on one of the covers was the face of Beta, and I mean, it was in his human form, obviously, you know, wearing a cowboy hat. So that's suggesting that he's some famous country singer. And I think in the comics, and I don't know if you've probably have mentioned it or said something, like, he's supposed to be some famous, like, basketball player or something.
Basketball player or a baseball player, I forget which. But yeah. Yeah,
but somebody famous.
Yeah, definitely. It was somebody that somebody could recognize, that everybody knew. And yeah, I love Daniel's reaction when the records got broken too. It's like, oh, no respect for vinyl.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something that we all speculated. Brian, yourself, and myself were speculating at that time during Fear. And I actually had to bring that up to my friend Susan Thomas. And if Susan, you're listening, yes, we brought that up. So you need to go listen to our Fear the Walking Dead talk-throughs. But yeah, I had to bring it up to her, and she goes, "Oh, I got to go look back now." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's there." So yeah, it's there, and we could see vividly his picture on the album cover.
Clearly him.
Yeah, and it's him, and it's with a hat, with the hair on the right side of the face and the left side exposed. So obviously his left side was exposed at this point when, you know, Gamma ripped the mask or the dead flesh off his face. And of course, you know, he's afraid of being acknowledged by anybody. And I guess he disavows his identity from before the apocalypse.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. So I guess, obviously, there's questions like, how out of all this time that you could recognize someone just with like half their face after you've been like with them the whole time. But I mean, yeah, he does say, he's like, "Oh, your voice sounded familiar." And I don't know if he said it's like, "Oh, some of us have thought your voice was sounding familiar." But yeah, so Beta kills him because he's obviously wanting to hide the fact that he is someone famous. All right, and then the last part that Dieta had for her what sauce was Rosita and Eugene fighting like true champions. Rosita is giving me ninja vibes.
Yeah.
No, I love it's good that. To see her.
Yeah, it's good to see her in action, and the fact that, you know, she is scheduled to play what is the famous Latino singer? I forget.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, same here. Who? She died, didn't she?
Salinas. Selena. Yes, she's going to be playing Selena in a movie. And on top of that, you know, everybody thought, oh, they're going to kill her off. Maybe not this season. Maybe she did the movie and she was able to work it out. Unlike, you know, Lauren Ridloff. And she was able to get that stuff in. Maybe they hold her over for next season, which would be amazing, because Rosita at this point in the comics, it's a spoiler for everybody who don't read the comics, but Rosita has been long gone at by this time. But the thing is that, you know, Christian Serratos is really a good actress, and I enjoy her, and, you know, I'm hoping to see more of her towards the end of the season, hopefully next season as well.
I agree. And we're getting at that point where just basically everything is just getting so off the comic besides maybe like the very, very basic, you know, story plots, but it's like characters and all that stuff. They can pretty much start doing whatever they want. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. So as long as they can like get it in their schedule, you know, Rosika would be with us forever.
It would be amazing. I would love to have that idea. Maybe, you know, if Eugene and Stephanie have a child, she could be Auntie Rosita.
We will see. Who knows?
Who knows?
All right. Well, that was it for our listeners' WhatsApp. So we'll continue on with ours. And I just had just like 2 points. Basically, it was like Alden, when he shot Gamma after she turned. And I was just like, why didn't you shoot Beta? Like, he was right there. Like, I, you know, he did try again, but I'm like, wait, what? Very missed opportunity there.
It's like, definitely. Yeah.
And then this has been getting on me since what was it, last episode before, where Rosita and Eugene, or Rosita basically gets on the radio whenever, you know, Stephanie's like reaching out to him. And I'm just like, what is it with everybody's just ignoring the fact that Eugene is talking to like some new woman? Like, talking about that he's going to meet up with them. Like, he tells Carol, it's like, oh, it's like super important, like the biggest thing that I've ever done or whatever. And like, no one's asking the questions about like, who is this person? You know, what's this new group, or what's going on, Eugene? Because obviously these people are not Hillside, Oceanside, Alexandria, or the Whisperers. So I just don't understand why they just like, oh, yeah, you could talk to new people. Like, like, yeah, I like new people.
Okay, I'll see you.
But it just like, it totally goes over their heads, or they just don't even want to ask more. I think my first thing would be like, who are you talking to when you're fighting a group that is like wanting to destroy you all? And you're just like, oh, Eugene's got a new girlfriend. Like, what? Like,
The thing is with the Whisperers, they don't deal with technology. They deal with just like ripping flesh from dead skin and everything else. So obviously this is something, and Rosita, being the true friend that she is keeping that a secret for Eugene. And obviously she knows in time that he will tell them. And I think him confiding into Carol at that point, well, it was his way, and Carol having her own issues too with hiding things, she knew how to hide that. So I think that was the point of view from both those aspects. So like, you got the best friend, you know, Rosita, and Rosita wants the best for Eugene, and she knows that Eugene is trying to do the good, because it's been years since he betrayed everybody. Come on.
Right.
How long ago was that, when he was with the Saviors? And goes, and then Rick looking at him going, I know you.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, wow. But that's been years. This is like, what, 9 years? And he's a changed man. And I think Rosita saw that. And the fact that, too, that Carol is like in her own little world at this point.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to use Ezekiel for sex. I'm just going to be like, okay, I got Negan to do something for me. I got my revenge.
Yeah. So, I guess my whole thing, though, is it's like they're dealing with the Whisperers, like, they're dealing with, like, you know, being
the common threat right now. That's really what their main focus is. So I think this kind of went unsaid, because, you know, their main focus is,
or I guess, yeah, or was not like on their radar to even think about, like, what's just like, okay,
until
whatever.
Things settle down and be like, Eugene, who's this chick?
Yeah. I just keep. I feel like that would be such an important thing, because like, wait, who are you talking to? Are we going to get attacked by another group? Like, what's going on? You
exactly,
know, like,
yeah,
it's like, I would want to know more than just being like, oh yeah, sure, like, go do your thing.
Yeah. Are we going to get a stormtrooper who can't aim?
Yeah. Oh goodness. All right. Well, that's all I had to say. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I had a couple. So what is up with Luke? Is he dead, man Luke? Like, I don't want to say cool hand Luke, but dead man Luke. How did that happen to him? You know, he had a little bit of like a gash on his head and he was bleeding. He was in the stretcher that Aaron was dragging when he saw Negan. Do we get an explanation later on? I hope so. You know, that to me is like opening up a whole can of worms. I'm like, are we going to see the end of Luke or is he just going to be in a coma for another, you know, bunch of episodes because he's got to do the next, you know, Harry Potter spinoff movie, you know? But I don't know. That to me, it's just like, what's going on? But Luke at this point, you know, in the comics didn't live as far. But I like Dan Fogler. I love his character. So I'm hoping they do a little bit more with him and maybe he gets to meet that chick from Oceanside. The other what is, what? Carol and Eugene have a scene together? And then Carol gives him some great advice? I don't think we've ever seen a scene between Carol and Eugene in the history of The Walking Dead together alone. You know, to me, that was like pretty cool, but I was like, what is this? And this goes on to my next point. Negan and Carol talking at the end. That is the first time we've ever seen Negan and Carol talk. Ever. You know, she sent him out on that mission, and I don't think the plan was for her to go a little crazy, like I said before, because Negan took too long to get the job done. But, you know, that's typical Carol, you know, at the very end saying, oh, it took you a little long. You know, she basically manipulated somebody to do what she couldn't. And that was Negan. In her eyes, he was basically expendable, which makes me think because the next episode is basically all about Michonne at this point.
Yeah.
We know this. The following episode is Look at the Flowers.
Yeah.
Well, that's makes you think, does Carol do away with Negan? Good question.
Well, that title definitely has piqued my interest.
Yeah, well, I you know, I got clued into a few episode notes, so.
Alrighty, well, was that all?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, well, then that takes us into our sad and aw sauce. All right, Todd from Ohio says, and I was. I believe this is part should be the sad or aw sauce. He's like, gnar sauce. He's like, Adam, Alex, foster dad, and then sad face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. The fact that, you know, what's that? Alden now.
Yeah.
At this point. But it was Earl before. Yep. Okay. The next person would be Steve from Oklahoma City, and he says, as awesome as Judith fighting was, it was said that she apparently killed her first human, which I do agree. You know, very similar to what Carl went through, but there was a lot more remorse within that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Deanna from Detroit, she says, Earl's death and the sad story that Magna told about how she and Connie got surrounded by the walkers, then lost each other, but she had time to cover herself with walker guts to escape. Why they both didn't do it, and Magna didn't look too convincing as a gut-covered walker. She looked pretty clean. And then she's like, shrug emoji. Yeah. And, you know, we just talked about this, but I was like, it's the magic of Fear the Walking Dead blood that makes you invisible trick.
Yeah. Or The Descent, like the movie The Descent, when they're all covered in the blood in the caves, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go into our sad and aw sauce. And I'll start first. It's like Earl. As like his choice of how he was going to off himself is that railroad spike in the table. I mean, I was like, dang. I don't know how like you could forcibly make yourself slam your head into something like that. But I guess, you know, we're in that world where it's like, it'll make you do things that would make you definitely do some crazy or just like really, really, you know, non-humanly, you know, think that you would do to yourself, But if you know what was going on, then, you know, it's like, hey, I'm dying anyway. So I guess it's still like there's so many other ways you can off yourself. So the railroad spike, I was just like, dang, dude.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, though. It was sad to see Earl go. I have to agree with you, Kyle, completely. You'd think he would just chop off his arm, but a friend stated to me that he was probably too far gone by that time to do it himself because he was alone with those kids. He had those kids to care for at that time before they got to the cabin. So he was probably suffering at that point. And look at his age. You know, he was like Herschel, but at the time Herschel, when he got his leg bit, you know, Rick just went at it right away with an axe. And then they were able to, he had other people to help right. drag him out and do that stuff. Earl at that point had only kids to tend for. He had Gracie, he had Judith, he had RJ and all the other kids. He had Nabila's kids. And, you know, to be honest, you know, he did what he had to do and he tried. But you would think, hey, I have this spike. I'm going to put my head over it. He had the hammer. He could just pound his head one last time.
I know.
And just into the spike through his eye and it would have been done. But you know what? It had to be for the writing, so to give it a little bit more dramatic feel and give Judith that kind yeah. of story of, I had to actually do this to somebody I loved and that I cared for and who did something to help us. So it was yeah. it was like kind of like a rite of passage in a certain sense for her.
Yeah. Still would have been like, I don't know if I could do that myself. or even
no.
attempt it.
No.
I'd be like,
put an arrow through my head. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sure Eugene, there's a hand grenade somewhere. Here, just let me hold on to it and put it next to my head. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that was it for our sad and awesome. So let's go into feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, Brian, we actually recorded earlier together because, you know, he had all his notes and stuff like that, but he wouldn't do this all kind of like all in one fell swoop. So let's go on to his voicemail.
Okay. So we're doing something different this time, and I am leaving a voicemail, and Kyle is on with me, so hey. He can interact with me. So basically, I had a pretty rough week this week, so I'm not going to stay on the call, but I am going to give this episode 9.8, The Bitch is Dead. My awesome sauce, I first put on there, Gamma was willing to sacrifice herself for her nephew, or at least protect her nephew and, you know, make the sacrifice to, you know. But anyway, more on Gamma in a minute. Carol playing with that walker in the leaves. I think it's kind of a reminder of Carol at the prison in the comic book. And I had here in my notes, am I right, Mark? But Mark's not here.
We'll get his comment later.
Yeah. The Carol-Eugene parallel. If anyone could understand what she's going through on that end, you know, not the grief, but the action since then, it's Eugene for his actions with the Saviors. The cold open was amazing. It was great action, great tension right at the start. Of course, I have to say the scene with Negan offering Lydia to Alpha and appealing to her to let her live. And then the drama of, you know, the false escape of Lydia. The music in that scene was great. The tension was real, and everything about that whole thing, including the death, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I said it in my rating, the bitch is dead. And then, of course, the shocking reveal. That it was Carol who released Negan, which is kind of funny because back in 10A, Mark and I both were thinking that it was Carol. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like one of those things where I wasn't even thinking about Carol anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's, you know, we go on to other listeners and that came up because just, you know, Carol kind of came out of nowhere, truthfully, for me.
Yeah.
Was not expecting that at all, especially the way she's been acting.
Yeah. So, had a few weak sauces, nothing major, though. Gamma taking a victory lap and not paying attention and then not hearing Beta sneak up and stab her. I thought that was, you know, kind of stupid.
We have ninja walkers and now we have ninja whispers.
Exactly. Exactly. And then it's you. Could that guy see Beta's face when he did? I mean, it didn't look like there was any possibility that he would have seen Beta's face. So,
or not his full face. It really a full review.
Right, right. It didn't look like from the angle that there was any way that Negan was going to be able to, he was going to be able to see Negan. So Earl's death. Now, my question with that is, why did Earl have to die? It's a known thing at this point, you know, in the zombie apocalypse, for him to cut off his arm, that he could have lived. And they had big knives, you know, like Judas's knife, you know, I mean, it would have been a painful arm extraction, but, and it, you know, he may have died from it anyway, but it's just kind of shocking that he didn't do that, or even like, you know, try to like stick a hawk, one of his, I don't know, what do you call it? A hot poker in the wound. Like the
branding.
Yeah, cauterize it or something, like, you know, because he was a blacksmith, so I think he would know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would work, but, you know, it's a better option than what he ended up doing. My what sauce? Where did the heads come from that were in that pile? Like, and for that matter, who's cutting off heads and not stabbing them? That seems like a Michonne thing to do. So, so if Carol was working with Negan, why did she do what she did in the cave? Like, why did she risk everyone else? And, you know, it may even be that Connie's dead. You know, that wasn't really explained in this episode, whether or not she's dead. Why did Negan wait so long to kill her? Like, he could have killed her before they attacked. So that's my what sauce there. My guess is that Negan was attracted to Alpha. She reminded him of his wife. And he tested her and he, you know, tied down Lydia, probably to keep her safe and to take her out of the equation so that he could do what he needed to do. I'll give some of the credit to that to Jason and Lucy. And I guess Aaron was on there on the Walking Dead cast this week. This came up and some of my thoughts on there kind of crystallized when I was listening to them today. The sad sauce, I saw what you had in the notes. And I have to agree that it was really sad about Earl. Mm-hmm. Very sad. So, anyway, I thought that this was a great episode. And I think that it's definitely one of the best ones that we've had in a long time. So,
agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you made some good little points. I think as like the Carol thing does just kind of leave. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's messy. Because from what we've been seeing, and I mean, she kind of talks about it when she's talking with Eugene, just about like, basically, she's like, have you ever tried to do like stuff and then you pissed off everybody or whatever, but then you have nothing to show for it?
Right.
And it's like, well, was she and Negan, you know, had a plan and then she, what, lost kind of control and then is regretting that she let her emotions take the better part? You know, I don't know. She seems so broke up about it. Almost everything that was going on to then at the end, it's like, what took you so long?
Yeah, I had that too. I don't know where the heck I put it, but yeah, about Carol, like for anyone to do that, to kind of understand what she was going through, it would be Eugene. So I understood that,
yeah,
you know, cause obviously he had to do what he did. With the
saviors,
it was actually in my awesome sauce. I missed that one. Couple other little things that I had. The it's kind of funny how Negan just cannot herd walkers to save his soul. You know. I noticed that Negan calls them walkers. So he's like, oh, you want me to herd walkers? Which is obviously not a whisperer term.
Yeah.
Guardians, they would say. And was Alpha intending for Negan to take over the whisperers, or was it for Lydia? So she was going to kill Lydia. And then was she going to kill herself? Or, like, I didn't really understand that exactly. So,
yeah. I think the only thing I kind of got out of it was just that Negan was bringing up Beta about him not being an alpha. And then she was kind of more saying, like, well, I want you to be the lion. So I kind of took it as, like, you know, she was possibly looking at him as being the next Beta, since he found Lydia, so to speak, and all that stuff. And then, of course, I think Negan was also kind of testing her there, too, about, like, you know, well, I figure that, you know, your daughter would be, you know, like, someone to lead the group should come from, you know, basically your family or your daughter, or I forgot how he put it.
Yeah.
So, it just seems like Beta was kind of starting to get a little bit pushed out of favor in Alpha's mind, and Negan was totally, like, you know, taking advantage of it.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, because obviously Beta will be leading now, so be interesting how things play out. So.
Oh, yay. Actually get to give Brian the Showcase Showdown winner. thanks, Brian, for joining us, even though you weren't able to stay with us the whole entire time. But, we had some good things to talk about, so thank you, as always. All right. did you have any comments on that? Because I guess what's about the comic...
Oh, definitely. That whole scene with Carol.
Yeah.
Was definitely something that was a tribute to the comic, in my feeling. The way the walker was grabbing her, she was like shooing it away. And then she had that look of like, oh, I want you to bite me or something.
Yeah.
Well, in the comic, the way it happened was, and you're talking, this is early on, this is like in the first 30 issues, and that's how Carol died, was via a walker. But comic spoilers, but, you know, maybe this would want the listeners to actually read the comic, because, come on, all the volumes are out there. Go out there and buy them. And I'm not saying that to promote Robert in any way, and I'm not in any way related to him, but I have all of them in some shape or form. So I have, I think I have the first six books, which are like almost like compendiums. And basically what had happened was, is that Carol felt like she needed to belong within the group. And this was earlier on in the series where in the comic series where, you know, she felt left out, but she wanted to belong. She wanted to be part of something. So she, of all things, suggested like a three-way between Rick, Lori, and her. And when she was rejected, she kind of just went out on her own and she looked out and she saw this walker and let the walker bite her. And then she became a walker and then they had to kill her. So, yeah, this is a far better Carol than we got in the comic, by all means. Trust me, I prefer this Carol over the comic book Carol. But, yeah, and then in the comics, obviously, Sophia is still alive.
Yeah.
in the show, in the comics, but in the show, she's dead. But, you know, that actually propelled the show Carol to do what she is doing and making her a stronger person, manipulative. Who knows where that's going to go, but yeah, we do know that Melissa McBride did sign a 3-year contract for X amount of $1 million. Who knows? But my feeling is I really love Melissa McBride in the character as Carol, but some of the writing has been a little bit odd.
Odd, yeah.
I would say over the past, you know, couple of years. I would say this past year in itself, but there has to be something that's written in that where it changes so we know where she is. And I think that change happened this particular episode when we saw Negan drop Alpha's head in front of her. So we'll see. You know, I'm really enjoying the show and, you know, that was just a clarification. Yeah, that definitely was a nod to Carol.
Yeah, it is kind of, I mean, I've read up to the, basically when the whispers kind of show up in the comic, and that's as far as I've gotten, but it's just like Carol's character from that to the show. It's like Carol's the superstar. I mean, you think about like where she came from season one to where she is now, what, 10 seasons later?
Yeah.
It's just like, she's like, yeah, if you listeners, if you go back and read the comic, you know, don't hold it against her. It's just like, that's what her character was there. It was just, she kind of had her issues and then just kind of wanted to bail out because, of, you know, whatever. And if you're interested, go into like, go read the comics because they are really, really good, but they are definitely a very, like, almost now at this point, distant.
A lot of people have a lot of time now, Kyle, because with the whole, this whole pandemic going on, everybody, apparently with the ratings and everything went up for The Walking Dead. And my recommendation, if you have a lot of time, you got a lot of time to read. So, you know, you could find them online.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your comic book shop is not open, mine was open today. And I actually picked up a couple of comics, even though I didn't have anything on my pull list. But, yeah, literally, you have more than enough time if you have those 2 weeks just to sit around. You know, there's always that thing where you could watch TV, you could rewatch episodes, and, you know, rewatch the series as a whole. But honestly, I would recommend to read the comic just to get a different perspective of the show.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah,
wholeheartedly. All right, well, thanks Brian for joining us for just a short little time, but that was fun. So next on our feedback is from Steve from Oklahoma, and as always, he gave us a voicemail, so here we go.
All right, Walking Dead talk through. This is Steve, and this is for Walk With Us. Really good episode again. All these episodes have been great this season. and I'm loving the podcast, loving hearing Mark and Kyle and then Brian interject every once in a while. So it's really great. You guys have a great dynamic going and just love it. A couple of things from this episode. I was really surprised to see Magna, and when I first saw her, I thought she was a zombie. And then, you know, like several scenes go by before they catch us up to know that she was actually just kind of doing the Whisperer thing and walking with the Horde, which is still a little, none of the Whisperers figured out that she was real. How many days has it been? I mean, I guess it's not been very long, so maybe she's been able to survive with no food, no water, pretending to be a Zed, but we have no information about Connie. She says that her hand slipped out of hers at some point, and she doesn't know where Connie is, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see Connie as a zombie, since we saw Magna not as a zombie. So, but we'll see. I'm not sure, how that's going to go. Mark, props, man. You called it. You called these deaths in this episode, at least two of them for sure. You even, figured out the way they were going to happen. I love that whole, ending with this going between the two different cabins and us not knowing, which cabin is which and who's at what cabin. Although it does seem a little strange. Why would Negan leave Lydia tied up in a cabin just to have her kind of escape? It that was a little confusing to me, but, can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you later.
All right, here we go. Thank you, Steve. You get another showcase winner for that awesome feedback, as always.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for your edit voice to this podcast. We love it. Thank you. And as my co-host of Panels Pickles actually stated, yes, I did on episode 84 of Panels to Pixels, and it was Friday the 13th, and as we were recording it, it was around 8:30 we started. I didn't get to watch AMC premiere, and guess what? I gave my prediction on my own podcast for Panels to Pixels that night, and it did come true. And it was pretty funny.
Awesome.
I have to definitely, it's like, you know, Steve hit a lot of the same points. It was just kind of like, or at least kind of, I actually did not hear your voicemail, Steve, until just now. So it's like, I'm glad that somebody else kind of had the same comment about Magna and like, how the heck did she survive in that horde?
Yeah, I had a friend say that too.
Yeah, it was like so, like, it was nice to see her, but my first thing was like, wait, what? Like, how are you in the middle of this horde and like just fine? And we know Whisperers were in it. So it's like, yeah, it just will kind of disjointed or
it was,
yeah, it worked for the scene. All right. Well, that was it for our voicemail. So let's go into our listeners' feedback. And the first one is Dieta from Detroit. She goes on. She says, overall, good episode. Lots of action. The war is over, but it's still a lot of loose ends to tie up. Is the war really over with Beta still around? And who is going to end him? Will it be Negan and Carol? Well, I think... I mean, you've made comments too. Everybody's seeming to think that it's going to be Daryl and Beta basically having the face off.
I think that's going to come to a head for the fact that, I think there's going to be another encounter between Daryl and Beta, definitely.
It seems like that would make for good television.
Oh, definitely, in the sense that, you know, and if, listeners, you don't watch the TV show Ride, watch the one with Ryan Hurst and Norman Reedus. It's amazing.
And Norman Reedus, yeah.
It's funny. Them in Japan and the small little... And you actually did this, I think, too, Kyle, with the go-karts in Tokyo.
Oh, yes. I saw the preview of that. So I don't know if it already came on or if it was coming up.
It's coming up, but if you have AMC Premiere, you could actually watch it. It's pretty funny. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I can say for actually first-person experience, that was the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, but they did it at night, which was like wild.
Yeah.
So you got to watch it, dude.
Yeah, I definitely will. It's awesome. All right. Next we got a comment from Brenda from California, and I don't know if she has given any feedback before, but Brenda from California, she said, okay, my question now is, was Carol Breakdown an act? She seemed very together at the end. In which Dieta responded to her comment. She's like, so I just read a comment that made me go thinking face, or hmm. Mm-hmm. We have watched Carol pretend to not be who she has turned out to be. Her and Negan planning Alpha's demise is so Carol, and I'm totally here for it. The bitch has to die. Yeah. I think, if anything, I would think that Carol at the end made a lot of people basically be like, huh?
Yeah, they question her, and it's like, now she's a loose cannon. We don't know.
Yeah.
Even Daryl. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, and it leaves a lot of unanswered questions now, but I'm actually liking it. So I'm almost kind of like, okay, all the gripes that I had earlier in the season with how she's acting to like it ending on this, and it was just like, ah, there's Carol. And I love it. I love it so much. Alrighty. Alright, you want to go to the next one?
Sure. Well, Glenn is from Toronto. She has a nice list. And I will go through it. Number one, she says, it really looked like Negan was trying to reason with Alpha and change her mind on her determination to kill Lydia and maybe giving Alpha a chance to live. But was too far gone in her theology.
Yeah, I got that too. Just you could see how Negan actually, it seems like Negan has been a little bit kind of
humanistic. He was being a little bit more human with it, and I think he was trying to give her a chance to redeem herself. And I think that's really what resulted in that end cut.
Yeah.
Not to paraphrase, but to cut her throat. And I think that's what it was. And, you know, unlike Rick, he didn't give her a way to, you know.
Yeah, he didn't give her basically any kind of chance for a redemption or change of mind. But that's where it does seem like Negan and her are still somewhat cut from the same cloth.
Yes.
But obviously,
Negan's not Rick. That's the whole thing.
Right,
And Negan was sent out there on a mission by Carol. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really what it boiled down to at this point.
Yeah. All right.
Number two, she says, so it's all clear now that Carol let Negan out. Though he has some explaining to do on why he did such a good job blocking them and so preventing them from escaping to Oceanside. Good question. Yeah, that's a good idea and thought. Negan went all out to convince Alpha to trust him. He may have gone a little too far. It's going to be difficult for him to return to the survivors if that's his plan. Or if he'd rather try and lead the Whisperers and oust Beta. You know, she continues on saying, Negan sure isn't buying into the Whisperer mindset, so their mantra would definitely change if Negan was to lead them. And I don't really think Negan is really set to lead them in any way. Because after he took out Alpha, for him to change all those Whisperers, he has to take out Beta.
Yeah.
And Franny McTwoKnives ain't gonna give in so easily. Trust me.
Yeah. And that seems a little, almost like a little bit too hopeful thinking that Negan would actually be thinking that, like, almost on like, oh, is he trying to basically get the saviors back and become the leader. I think, like, that's a lot of work to try to be like, oh, I'm just going to then kill.
Yeah, I think Negan basically found a home within that. He loves Judith.
Yeah.
He loves the people that he's around. He actually liked Carol, apparently, in order to do this for her, to show that, hey, I could be redeemed like a good dog. And the fact that maybe if he did this, he'd be in good, you know, good standing with Daryl and everybody else that, you know, that he was stuck around within Alexandria. You know, I think that's really what this revolves around. Who's next? Father Gabriel? Is he going to be like, Father Gabriel, did I do okay? You know, can you resolve me of my sins?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I think that, like, Negan, in the end, like, he even kind of was, like, talking to Alpha about that, where it's like he was talking about, you know, the death of his wife, you know, and basically it's like losing everything, to where he basically was, he was saying that he's like, you know, I'm like, I don't feel anything anymore. It's like, and that's what my strength was. It was just like to not feel. Or something like that, you know. But then Alpha, like, who has her daughter, you know, and it was just like,
that was her weakness.
Yeah. But then Alpha was also trying to go on saying, it's like, oh, well, but by killing her is setting her free. And, like, your wife dying set you free and, like, whatever. But then Negan flat out comes up and so, like, okay, it's like basically calls her out on her bullshit about killing her daughter. So, I think Negan in the end is a survivor, and he always has been, but, you know, like, he did what he had to do to survive, and that's him banding the survivor, or the saviors, together to basically create a community that, like, took care of everybody, even if it was a messed up way, this and that. I don't know. I feel like he looks at the Whispers kind of in the same light, but then, like, you know, trying to get Alpha to basically kind of connect more to humanity, or, like, the human aspect, and she completely failed in that. And then he was just like, okay, that's it. And, you know, like, that's why he probably likes being with our group, because they actually want to, like, survive and live and take care of everybody. And it's not too dissimilar to what he was doing with the saviors. Maybe a little kinder, but, you know, he still has a faith in humanity, and, like, or just human civilization, like, whatever. Like, you know, I think Alpha is just way too out of the realm of, like the world is not just dead wasteland. It's like there's actually hope and blah blah blah. I don't know. That's my take.
So you're saying Negan's a little
rhetorical, okay?
Yes. Yes. All right, I'll stop talking. Continue.
Number three, she says, now they need to end Beta 2. To really put an end to the Whisperers, a Daryl/Beta standoff looming. Yes, of course there is. As Beta will be on the warpath more than ever, and I believe this is true. He's going to have some sort of personal vendetta, because he's been praying at the altar of Alpha for how long?
Gosh, yeah, 6, 7, who knows how many years.
Exactly. So now she's gone. Now he's on a path of his own to make a point. And in the comics, it didn't really go so well. I'm hoping that the show actually does something a little bit more extensive. And if we could eliminate this whole Whisperer thing within the season, that would be amazing, because All Out War took way too long for 2 years.
Yeah, honestly. I agreed.
Yeah. Her number four would be Judith, as the other posts also state, killed her first human, that Whisperer, but I wasn't sure if that guy was actually part of the Hilltop group. It looked as if she impulsively sliced him with the blade, sort of similar to Carl popping off a round from that homemade silenced gun that killed that boy from the governor's group. Yep, I brought that up. too, as well, yeah. But killing Earl was a mercy killing after he'd turned, which is very true. Yeah, it's pretty much something, but she knew that, and that's what is very appealing to what Judith is as compared to Carl, but Carl didn't really learn that until later on by helping Sadiq and putting trust into others. Yep. So her number five would be another mercy killing of Mary slash Gamma, this time by Alden. So preventing her from becoming and walking as one of the Horde. At least she got to hold her nephew one last time, which is, yeah, it was nice. But once you saw that, you knew her fate was there. Yeah, she was going to go. As soon as she was basking in the glory after killing those walkers, instead of walking with them, she was killing them. I knew. It's like, yeah, she's done. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but did Alden even know that she would have been added to the herd?
Not really. I don't think so. I think I honestly think that he was trying to aim for Beta
and missed. Well, it brings up why I was like, why did you not take that opportunity? But I mean,
yeah.
But shooting a bow and arrow is not easy.
He's better with a spear than he is with a bow. Number six, she says, so Beta is the music star that Daniel, I had the LP of in Fear the Walking Dead. Well, he had the LP, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, I saw that she posted this, so but I wanted to, when Dieta was like, what? It's like, that's because, Dieta, you need to, even though you might not like it, join us for Fear the Walking Dead.
And a little clue into that, there's a song that's played, but the girl who played Beth originally wrote the song and sang it, but they had Ryan Hurst sing it. And Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And number seven. So there's still a chance that Connie is still alive. And why don't Magna and Yumiko settle their differences? They've been offered a second chance. Why not take it? So, yeah. I think it got to the point of, in a relationship, that they kind of got to that point where they were both, you know, we saw them arguing before this, before that little war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we saw with the Whisperers. So I think it was on a downhill spiral at that point. So, yeah. Her number eight says, a little sad, Hilltop is all gone. I do agree. It is sad. Alexandria is going to be overcrowded with the overflow, unless enter Maggie with George's team, their resources to rebuild Hilltop with the key, maybe. And this is a little bit comic book spoilery, but when Hilltop was burnt down, Carl stayed at Hilltop to stay there and rebuild Hilltop. And they did. I think at this point, what they're going to wind up doing is eliminating Hilltop, kind of like they did with the kingdom. And they're going to abandon that. And all they're going to have is Alexandria and Oceanside. And maybe some sort of, I'll save that to last. Her number nine would be, so generally a lot of walking decisions being made, as the title states, walk with us, which would, I think that is regarding the whole Whisperer thing and with Negan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't willing to walk with them. And that's why he did what he did. But she says, she has an A, B, C, and D, but A, Negan walking as a whisperer. Very true. He was. He was walking as a whisperer, but he couldn't be a whisperer at any given time because he's too loud. And he didn't like.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to whisper, for sure.
Doesn't know how to whisper. And he also wanted to beat the hell out of things on the head with his Lucille 2.0. And she says, B, Mary / Gamma prevented from an eternity of walking with the Horde, which is very true because Alden alleviated that, I think, mm-hmm. unintentionally, but, you know, best for her, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And C, Magna and Connie walking with the Horde for a time in order to survive. Well, we don't, not sure yet about Connie. I'm hoping Connie's not amongst the dead being dead, but right. We won't know until we see that. Her last point would be D, which group will Negan choose to walk with now? And I really do believe that Negan wants to choose to walk with all our survivors that we've been following all this time.
Yep.
I think that was the whole point of him rolling the head of Alpha to Carol's feet, and the fact that she's going to grant him that, hey, he did this for us, so we should offer him some sort of, you know, redemption.
Yep.
And I don't think Aaron's going to take that well.
No. Yeah. Obviously, we saw a little bit of that, but it just makes sense, though, because, I mean, Negan and all the Negan ways tried to find a way to not choose our group, but, you know, he tested Alpha. He, like, kept me asking those questions and then just kind of got to the point where I was like, yeah, I don't want to go herd walkers. Like, this is stupid. Like, Negan being Negan, I love it. It's like...
Well, it's kind of like what Brian said. He actually adopted the term walkers.
Which that comes from our group.
Yeah. So he's already proven that he's kind of one of them, even though they don't accept him to some degree. And I think the whole offering of Alpha's head was that whole point of, hey, I want to be one of you, and please forgive me.
And he saved Lydia, or hopefully nothing happens to her, which...
He saved her a couple of... he saved Lydia and he saved Judith.
Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, even in this instance too, it's like, he could have put her in that, like, cabin thing or whatever, and just either still could have killed Alpha, but and just did it in front of her, but no, he put her way far away, was able to pull off his little scheme, and she's still alive. So it's like, that could be beneficial for him, because that's another witness to say, hey, no, he actually saved me.
Yeah, what makes me think that episode, look at the flowers, who's that for? Carol? Is that for Lydia?
Huh.
Who is that for?
It's a very specific.
Negan? Who knows?
That title has a lot of weight to it. So that could be, it really could be anything, but.
Yeah, well, when we knew about that, and we knew about that from the Grove, look at the flowers, that was based on a kid. What happened with Annette? Carol killed a kid. Will Lydia kill Carol? That's a good question.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe there's a turn of tides. Maybe with the between the Grove and now, that's Carol's arc. Maybe she dies and Lydia kills her. That's a good question. I'm curious.
Yeah. And no, it's well, we'll just have to wait to find out.
Maybe Lydia just gets all mad the fact that, you know, it's like, oh, I took your mother out, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and there was that little conversation on the porch, remember?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And.
Yeah, that's what I'm going back to.
Yeah. It's, maybe that's the other battle. It's not a Beta Daryl thing. It's going to be a Carol and Lydia. Oh, well.
Wow. That's a lot to think about, folks.
So, yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, with those, enter your comments after the podcast has uploaded.
Yes. All right, well, let's continue on. All right, we get some feedback from LT from NC, and he goes, the cold open came out swinging, and it just didn't let up all episode. I have to say that finally, they finally did a decent strategic move by making the wall at the gate with the dead Zeds. Also, props to the production team for capturing the chaos inside Flaming Hilltop. I agree.
Yeah.
The fires and all that stuff. It was definitely good. Like, the whole start of the show.
It was better than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they didn't need dragons.
Oh, they didn't have, you didn't have to increase your brightness on your
TV. Yeah. No, I definitely have to say it was very, very well done. Open. He continued on, at least they finally had a decent bug out plan with a centralized rally point. It did harken back to the small group pre-Terminus, but at least they did get back together by the end. And he's like, mostly. I was glad that they did manage to get the kids out. The scene with Earl and Judith was a good one, and I had no idea that her killing the Whisperer would end up like it did with Earl, but it was one of those bits in this episode that really paid off for me. Yep. It was definitely a good play on like the two sides of the coin.
Yeah, very true.
She's can't deny that. The world's on fire, and there are walkers at the gate, but our man Eugene has to worry about the radio. Cause that is what Eugene does.
It's like, the radio, technology, I need it.
Yes. If it was, well, yeah, they could have been there, and then another satellite came crashing down. He'd probably be like, oh, nope, I got to go get the parts out of that satellite.
Yeah, I can make an Atari.
The Yumiko, Magna, Carol scenes were so good. Seeing Magna in that herd was initially an oh shit for me because I thought she might have turned, but it was good to know that she did make it out. The question is, where's Carney? Agreed. You're not dead, or you're not gone until you're gone.
Yeah, true. Unless you're, who are we talking about in fear? Come on.
Yeah.
We didn't see her die.
Nope.
We didn't see Heath die either, too.
That is true. I know. So that is still, hey, never know. All right. Frowny McTwo Knives. Yeah, you can't make Negan not be a smartass.
Yeah.
Gamma/Mary, you had to know the redemption arc would end up like this, but they did get a decent redemption arc out of it. True. I mean, I think I said it's like I wanted to see a redemption out of Gamma.
Yeah.
And but I also was like, but I mean, she's probably going to die.
True.
So no redemption without death, I guess. Beta, once again, how does someone that big manage to appear out of nowhere? Stealth walkers. Like,
he's Sasquatch.
You don't see him unless he's...
He wants to be seen.
Yep. Oh, that's too funny. He's about as big as a Sasquatch. And
yeah, he's like 7 foot something there with those boots and everything. So, yeah.
Too funny. Sasquatch walkers. And he goes on, he says, I want to say just how good the writing is this season. I bought the Negan bits with Lydia, maybe because I didn't think too hard about it, but I really into the way it played out, right up until Negan gave Alpha the very Grimes-like throat slit. Then I got the big payoff at the end. I was in the Carol let Negan out camp earlier, and so love the what took you so long. The question I have is how much of Carol's current state is an act and how much of it's real? I loved it, and I have to say the season has really stepped up from the Gimple era. And I completely agree with you, LT, because, I mean, like, it just, I don't know. And, you know, I'd hate to even put it in those terms that the Carol making stupid decisions, people like, this is not the Carol we know. Being some sort of dumpster fire, whatever, that, you know, it was just some trick ploy. And then they don't at least give us some reason maybe why what was happening. Because if they just drop it and then we don't ever get any answers on, and Carol's just the badass that she's always what we always expect, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, I might want to think that they were just playing us just for the soul of playing us, and I wouldn't be happy about that. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll leave it at that. All right. Thank you, LT. That was it for the listeners' feedback for this episode, so let's go into ours. I have to say again, I am loving Negan more than I have this season. It's like he's still Negan through and through, and I'm loving it. Like, he doesn't want to hurt the walkers, like, you know, and when he's out there, you know, he's all like, screw this, and like bashes the walker's head. And I said this before in earlier episodes, but it's like, you know, we had the Negan from All at War, which definitely took way too long. Like, you know, everybody basically got bashed over the head, you know, excuse the pun, but for like two seasons, so like what, two whole years of, yeah, like we got so just overloaded with Negan that having so much space now to, like, you know, what was it last season, he showed up in like what, four episodes maybe or something, like he was hardly even there.
He was, well, that was due to fan reject based upon the character, so they had to write him in on only specific scenes. And
But that's the thing, though. I'm like, I'm glad that we had some distance.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Cardassian War in DS9 and all that stuff, you know? Yeah. I'm sure Brian's going to be, like, ripping me apart by saying Star Trek stuff. But it's like, that was really, that took me away. But there was some really good grounded work within DS9 with the writing with that. But it took me away from anything else. Everything was based upon the Cardassians, and I think Negan, and for that time, that's all I think. And I don't know. It's like, correct me, Brian, please. I know you're going to be listening to this, so you need to correct me.
Yeah. Well, overall, though, it's like, just out of, like, just this season, it's like there have been missteps, but, you know, nothing too majorly, like, crazy or, like, over, you know, like, that would, make me just be like, oh, this is a horrible episode. Not like Fear. Yeah. So I would just put that. But it's just, like, I don't know, like, the Negan, like, little, like, one-liners, the just, like, it's fun to have him back being Negan, as we know him. Just, you put him in a group that basically whispers, and I'm sorry, that's comedic gold right there.
It is true.
It's best. It's the best. So it's just it makes it so enjoyable.
It's like Killer Clowns from Outer Space the zombie apocalypse, you know?
Oh my gosh. And if you have not seen that scene, it's hilarious. Oh gosh. It always makes me crave cotton candy after that.
Yeah, but you don't want that cotton candy body.
No. But I do crave cotton candy every time I watch that.
Oh, same here. Actually, I was almost tempted to buy that cotton candy with the face on it at a con. But somebody bought it, and I was like, yeah, I'll just take the Eddie from the Iron Maiden mask. I'll take that. Okay.
That's awesome. But yeah, that basically was my only thing to add, was just a Negan loving it.
Yeah. So I should go on with mine, I guess.
Yep.
All right. So, well, I just hope Negan finds himself in good graces with the people on Hilltop, Alexandria, and Oceanside with his actions. But he just put himself as a target, you know. He just basically put a target on his head from Beta at this point with his actions, because he just killed Alpha. And, you know, Beta's going to realize this. Hey, I have to go after this guy because he probably killed Alpha. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he will be dead in this form rather than the one in the comic who lived at the very end. And you people need to read the comic, because Negan actually does live at the very end of the actual comic, but in a hermit kind of style life. the very ending is very sad. And you see it through Carl's eyes. And it's, you know, if they do themselves some sort of justice with this character, they would just get rid of him. Like, just end him in some nice way. So I'm hoping that happens. I'm not saying, hey, fire Jeffrey T. Morgan.
Right.
Because I don't want to see Jeff lose his job. But, you know, he enjoys his job and he loves the character. And I'm pretty sure he sees something there for the character. But obviously, he's not going to live up to Rick Grimes' expectations. But I think he would be a help to community. But I just don't want to see him gone. But I just hope that they just don't off him. But I have a funny feeling that something might happen in a sense.
Might happen,
where,
yeah.
Yeah. So I have one last note. And next week's episode basically will revolve around Michelle. We all know this because of the coming attractions, what we've seen. The first few minutes of the episode you could actually see on AMC Premiere on YouTube. I highly recommend it. That looks like an alternative version of what happened when Michonne met Andrea. Instead of helping Andrea, she walks away. But I think that is Virgil doing something to Michonne. I think all these are hallucinations, and I don't think Virgil is who what we think. And that scene with her and Lucille, the Lucille bat, looks like a dream to me. And I don't think she dies. I think she searches for Rick and gets some sort of information about him on Virgil's island. So I think something's going on there. And I don't think Virgil is who what we think he is. He looks like he plays the whole Fear the Walking Dead character in the very beginning within the first two seasons of somebody who's in peril. And they have their own agenda. And I don't trust Virgil. That's just me saying this, by the way. These are my assumptions.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole... Obviously, yes, next episode's all about Michonne. And just even in the coming attractions or scenes that I haven't seen, like what you've probably seen. I just saw what was at the end of the episode. But it was kind of weird because it was just like, okay, she's on this island, but there's like no people, I guess. And and the guy seemed to know about the Whisperers because he even says, he's all like, oh, you've been having issues with the Whisperers. So I don't know. And it was like cutting so quick, you know, of just all the different scenes. So it's like you see her, it's like, oh, the boat's on fire. Then it's like, you know, she looks like she's like trapped or something, to her having like the two new walker pets, you know, on chains that she cut, you know, like that we've known her.
Watch the scene. Everybody out there, go to your YouTube after you listen to this podcast. Watch the actual scene on YouTube. It's there. AMC has it up. Or if you go to AMC's website, and you can actually see it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I just... Yeah, obviously, this is her last episode, so they have to... move her forward.
Definitely.
Alrighty. Well, was that all you had?
That's all I got.
Alrighty.
No spoilers
for me. Alright, well, that was the end of the feedback. Thank you, everybody that submitted feedback this week. Keep it up. So let's go into news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
And Brian is going to take over this part as he recorded it, so I will play that now.
Hi, this is Brian, and I wanted to leave the ratings for Kyle and Mark, because I got to put my own little panache on them. Anyway, so surprisingly, in a good way, in a very good way, ratings are up. So The Walking Dead got a 1.23 in the 18 to 49 with 3.494 million viewers. That is way up from last week's 0.92 in the 18 to 49 with 2.927 million viewers. So that works out to about 34% increase, about a 34% increase. And I think it's a 19% increase in total viewers. So quite a significant jump. And, you know, considering the episode that it was, and probably a lot of people working from home on Monday or not working at all. Maybe they stayed up later. I don't know. But I'm sure there was some hype knowing that there was going to be a big battle this week. But how much of it was the coronavirus? People, you know, kind of either wishing for a zombie apocalypse.
What?
Or is it basically the, I don't know, people think of the zombie apocalypse when they're thinking about the coronavirus, because, you know, let's face it, this is something that's unprecedented for not just our generation, but, you know, for probably over 100 years since the last big influenza outbreak in, I think, 1918. So I think that's the first time that they ever did social distancing. But anyway, there was no Talking Dead. Obviously, that is the case. It is back supposedly next week, and they're doing it virtually, which is what they probably should have done last week, but they probably weren't, you know, they probably weren't prepared to do it. So anyway, that's it for me for ratings. I don't know if these guys have any other news items, but here we go.
All right. Thank you, Brian, for giving us our ratings. Yeah. I mean, that was the only thing that I posted in the Facebook group. Was just like they did announce that they are doing The Talking Dead, but they are doing it remote. So I don't know if that's going to be like Chris Hardwick, like in the studio, and then they just kind of cut to everybody speaking remote. But
they'll probably do like a Skype call or something and then just do it that way.
Yeah, they've got, I mean, we've already, if you've been watching the news, like every news organization or whatever, it's like everybody's doing remotes and like are at home. You know, it's like they can do it. The technology's there. So I think not getting it from, you know, last week was just because everything's been so sudden.
Yeah. And
no one knew exactly what to do or what the situation was. He didn't go into the parent analytics. But he put in there, he's like, it was up this week and it moved to a number 4 in overall with a 79.4 million average demand expressions. And so this is up from last week that was at 6, with 66.3 million. And you know, it's good that ratings are up, but obviously with the circumstances that we are living through, it's like there's a lot more eyeballs at home, which that does help. All right. Well, if you would like to interact with us, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. And to submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. Please email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. We get it if you're even sending it from the old way or whatever, but yeah, if you want to send us feedback or if you don't make the Facebook group, definitely send us, you know, everything that way. And we also do have a feedback form, which I know some of you guys use, and that is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you want to get a showcase showdown, then leave us a voicemail. We love having those from you guys. So it's like you can call us at 216-232-6146. And the deadline for the next episode is set for a regular day and time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, March 4th, I believe.
Correct.
Yes. All of our episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media. And remember to subscribe and click the bell to get notified when we have new videos. The videos go up first before the podcast does. Whenever I do the encoding, it pretty much sends it there almost immediately. And then I have to do other stuff to actually get it posted for the podcast. So if you want to get it first, that's a great place to start.
Yep. And to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is our new Patreon, which would be patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Todd. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or just tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us all new listeners. So just talk to your friends, tell them, hey, I know this cool new podcast. It's been around for a long time, but it's new to me. I love it. So just send it out and send some love. And to subscribe to us in Apple Podcast or your podcast client of choice. So just subscribe to those and have them and your friends subscribe to us. And that would be awesome. While you're there, please give us a rating or review. We haven't had one in a while, but the best thing to do is give us a review. Top stars are much welcomed.
All right. Well, until he returns, you can listen to Brian and Ruthie on the Star Trek Picard cast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most other podcast apps. You can also go to StarTrekPicard.com, and all episodes are available on the Star Trek Discovery Podcast feed, as well as StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. And you can also go to the Facebook group for Picard Cast, and it's facebook.com/group Star Trek TTM Podcasts. Currently, the first 8 episodes are up with 2 more to go. They have a new Patreon for those podcasts, and that's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. Mark, what's going on with your world?
Well, you can always listen to me on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Podcast Radio Network. Steve Brown and I actually cover a lot of the Marvel, all the comic book based movies, shows, everything that was turned from a comic to those formats. Right now, we're coming on to our last episode of season 3 of Daredevil. And after that, we're gonna probably take a break and then probably going into a Superman Red Sun review and maybe do Birds of Prey as well, just within the same. So, if you are not familiar, there was a comic book out years ago called Superman Red Sun, and that's based upon the idea of Superman growing up in Russia during that whole Cold War era. So, yeah, I would actually look into that. It's pretty much a cartoon. So it's very done and it's very adult oriented. So I suggest watching that. Do not have your children watch it. but you know, we're going to cover that and we're going to actually do a pretty much a review on the Birds of Prey movie that came out not too long ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. It's like, now that I was having a little more, fortunately, I've just been sick. So it's like, I haven't been able to really do much other than just be sick. Not in a bad way, everyone. I'm fine.
Yeah, he's good. He doesn't have the corona.
Nope, I don't. Just a stupid cold. All right. Well, guys, the next episode is season 10, episode 13, What We Become. It's written by Vivian Say. Don't know who it's directed by yet. And the description, I got it off the Walking Dead Week wiki, but it was going to another website that was like the showcase. But there isn't one on AMC, so I don't know if this is exactly what it is, but found something that said Michonne takes Virgil back to his island to find his family. In exchange, Virgil offers weapons.
It's a trap!
So until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk. Good night, everyone.
Good night.